Well, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. And I'm so thankful to say you don't look like turkeys. Although, how many of us had a lot of turkeys? Now, some of us might look a little bit more stuffed than we did last week, but God is good. Amen. We're going to be studying this morning, friends, from God's great book of 1 Corinthians. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you this morning to open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be focusing upon the manner in which we are to take the Lord's Supper, the motive for taking the Lord's Supper, and the message in this taking of the Lord's Supper. Well, if you're able this morning, would you please rise with me as we honor God with the reading of His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And if you would break down to verse 23, if you look down there. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Well, Father God, I don't believe that there is a man or a woman alive who can adequately express the importance of the Lord's Supper to any congregation. What we do know is that the Lord's Supper is not a sacrament that adds saving grace. That's not. We're not saved by taking the Lord's Supper. The Bible doesn't teach that, and we don't agree with that. We do not agree with those who also believe that the Lord's Supper, the elements, the bread and the wine, become the literal body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe in that either. What we do believe, Lord, is that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And we thank you for being with us this morning. And Lord, we do not believe that the taking of this ordinance is necessary in order to get us to heaven, but we do believe that it is necessary for fellowship. We believe the taking of this supper is necessary for Christian maturity. We believe it is necessary for Christian obedience, and we believe it is necessary for our Christian witness. Oh Lord, God forbid that we should ever minimize what God has so emphasized. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open this morning as we go through this passage, and I want to start with the manner in which we are to take the Lord's Supper, and I want you to see the manner in which we're to take the breaking of the bread. And the very first thing I want you to note is we are to do this willingly. Now, the taking of the Lord's Supper, friends, is a duty, but it is more than a duty. It is a delight. It is more than a command to obey. It is a blessing to enjoy. And when it comes to the breaking of bread, we're not coming in here this morning to, in a moment of silence for a dead person We're coming to sit at the table with a friend. And that friend is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is with us. And this is a celebration. Matter of fact, he's always with us. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And so what a delight. And so the very first thing we're to do is we're to do it willingly. And I believe our hearts ought to be grieved if we miss the Lord's Supper when we could participate in the Lord's Supper. So we're to partake willingly, but we're also to partake worthily. And I want you to look again with me in verse 27 where the instruction is given, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And this verse is simply saying that there are certain requirements for taking the Lord's Supper. And you need to listen because, you see, perhaps you're here this morning and you're not worthy to take the Lord's Supper. Friends, I want you to note that the Lord's Supper is only for the redeemed. We're in chapter 11, but just look back in your Bible to chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. And Paul writes here, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." And so the very first thing we need to understand is it's only for the redeemed. You cannot hold on to this world and with one hand and try to hang on to heaven with the other. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven believing that you can, because you cannot. It is impossible. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and participate with the cup of the devil. Listen, is anybody here half saved? Now, no one is half saved. To be half saved is to be altogether lost. And if you're not redeemed, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, I would tremble to take into my hands the elements of the Lord's Supper. Were I an unsaved person, someone who's not redeemed? Because the Bible clearly teaches that the Lord's Supper is only for the redeemed. But I want to say something else. It is only for the reconciled. Look, if you will, at verses 17 and 18 here in 1 Corinthians 11. And listen to what Paul writes. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Paul is simply saying here, some of you are better off for not partaking of the Lord's Supper. You've not come together for the better. You've come together for the worse, not for the better. Why? He says, because it's reported among you that there are some divisions among you. Are you listening to your pastor this morning? Friend, if your heart is not right, if you got some malice, if you got some division, some rancor, some loss of fellowship between you and another brother or sister here in this body of Christ, do not take the Lord's Supper. It's not going to help you. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches that it's going to harm you. That's what the Bible says. Do not do it, because the Lord's Supper is a symbol of the unity and the communion of the Lord's body, of the body of Christ. And friends, what a mockery that an unsaved person should take of this supper. What a mockery that a person who has malice or who would have hate in their heart should take of this supper. It is for the redeemed. It is for the reconciled. But there's something else. It is only for the reverent. Look with you, me, if you will, at verses 20 and 22. Paul writes, when ye come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. My friend, this is what was happening at the church at Corinth. What was meant to be a reverent remembrance of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had turned into a frolic, a feast, and a drunken orgy. They failed to be reverent at the taking of the Lord's Supper. And again, let me tell you, just for me, I would tremble to take the elements of the Lord's Supper into my hands if I did not do it with the utmost respect and the utmost reverence. You see, we're never to joke. We're never to take lightly. We're never to hold these elements in our hands loosely. It is for the redeemed. It is for the reconciled. It is for the reverent. And there's one more thing I want to say about this. It is for the repentant. Verses 29 to 32 here. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What does all that mean? It simply means this. When a person comes to this table with unconfessed, unrepented of sin in their life, and they take these elements in their hands, and they take the precious broken bread, the body of Jesus, and you ingest that bread, and at the same time, there's unconfessed and unrepented of sin in your life. And then you turn around and you take the fruit of the vine and you imbibe that. And again, there's unconfessed, there's unrepented of sin in your life. Though they be saved and though they seem to be reverent, all they're doing, the Bible says here, is eating and drinking judgment unto themselves. Matter of fact, Holy Scripture, I believe, teaches you're increasing judgment upon yourself. You're living dangerously. You could die prematurely. You could bring physical sickness and malady into yourself. Paul says, verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And when he says sleep, he's not referring to now I lay me down to sleep. Folks, using the word sleep to say some are dead. They're dead. How carelessly we can handle holy things, amen? It would be better to play with forked lightning than to carelessly, as a Christian, allow unconfessed and unrepented of sin in our hearts and in our lives, and then sit here today and partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm telling you, when we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to be very careful. We need to take it willingly because it's a tremendous blessing. But we need to take it worthily. And that doesn't mean that we're worthy in and of ourselves, but it does mean exactly what the Bible says. We're to examine ourselves. Don't be looking across at somebody else. Don't look at your husband or your wife. Don't look at anybody else. You look at yourself in the light of the holy word of God. And then if we find any sin in our hearts, if we find anything in our lives, before we take the Lord's Supper, we're to do what? The Bible says we're to judge that thing. The Bible says, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should what, church? So before we take the Lord's Supper today, we're going to have a time of judgment where you can judge yourself, where you can look at your life, and you might say, Lord, that attitude I copped, that attitude I've been walking through life with, that action, that thought, that habit, that deed, Father God, that was wrong, and I am wrong. There's nothing holy in the way I've been living, nothing holy in the way I've been acting, nothing holy about it at all. And Lord, in the light of your word, you have told me to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the desires of the flesh. God, I've been filling the desires of my flesh. I failed to walk in the Spirit. But Lord, I want you to know this morning, by your word, I have judged that. And Lord, I repudiate it. Lord God, I'm repenting of it. You don't have to judge me, Lord, because you've given me your word, and I judge myself by your word. Friends, it's for the redeemed. It's for the reconciled. It's for the reverent. It's for the repentant. And not only should we take it willingly and take it worthily, but we also ought to take it watchfully. Now, I want you to look at verse 29 again. He says here, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning what? The Lord's body. The word not discerning means literally not understanding, not perceiving, not concentrating on the Lord's body. Now, what does he mean when he says the Lord's body? Is he talking about the actual physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth, or is he talking about the church? Well, I believe he's talking about both. I believe that when we take the Lord's Supper, we should be watchful. We should be mindful of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died in agony and blood upon the cross. Now, whether you care to admit it or not, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to admit what we are. And even though we've been saved, there's times when we don't act saved. When we're not acting saved, are we being mindful of what Jesus did for us? I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about that cross up there. Think about the agony that Jesus went through to save you. When I think about what Jesus did to save my sorry soul, it's all I can do not to cry here this morning. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. Boy, the things I've done in my life. And I'm just so thankful that there's a God in heaven who loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me. Whew. When I look out at you and you look up here at me, do you realize we're all one in the bond of love? For God so loved the world that he died for all. We share the same Savior. And it don't matter how we came to know Him. Just thank God that we do know Him. Amen? There's not one who sinned worse than another. I mean, some of us might have sinned more. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and I'm going to argue with him when I get home to heaven because I think it's me. And I don't say that pridefully. I say that shamefully. But Jesus died for you and me. I'm reminded here that Leonardo da Vinci, when he was 43 years of age, was commissioned by the Duke of Milan to paint the masterpiece that we call The Last Supper. Da Vinci worked on that for almost 4 years with the great ability he had. And he divided, if you'll remember that painting, the disciples into groups of three on either side of Jesus, and he put the Savior in the middle. And when he painted the Savior, he had the Lord with his hands straight out, and in the right hand of the Savior was the cup. And Da Vinci asked, he painted that cup with such realism and such mastery that it was astounding. And when he had finished it, he asked a friend, "What do you think of the painting?" And that friend looked at that painting and said, "The cup is magnificent. I've never seen anything like it." Upon which Da Vinci took a brush and drew a stroke across the cup and said, "Tracked from the face of my Savior." If we do not take the Lord's Supper willingly, if we do not take it worthily, if we do not take it watchfully, you're not ready to take the Lord's Supper. Well, I want to move from the manner now to the motive for the taking of the Lord's Supper. I want you to look again with me at verse 23 and 24, where we see, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Here's the motive. It's not a means of salvation, but it is a means of adoration. "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus..." It's a time of appreciation. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it. As the Lord Jesus gave thanks so long ago for the elements, how we ought to give thanks today." Oh, how we ought to adore Jesus Christ. We should appreciate him. We should give him our thanksgiving. Friends, what do we have that we haven't received? We ought to be giving thanks on a daily basis. Thank God we're alive to be in this church this morning. It's not only a time of adoration, it's a time of appreciation. It's a time of celebration. Verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup..." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus chose a supper to illustrate the whole thing, because salvation is something so glorious, and it's something so wonderful that you don't need to feel sorry for a person when they become a Christian. It's a time of adoration. Yes, it's a time of appreciation. It's a time of celebration. Hallelujah! But that's also a time of anticipation. That's something else I want to share with you. Look what he says again in verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." It not only looks backward, friend, it looks forward. And the last thing we need to share before we break bread this morning is the message in the taking of the Lord's Supper. This is preaching at its finest. When we partake of the Lord's Supper as a unified body in Christ, there's no greater message. Again, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death. Now that word shew, what it literally means is you proclaim the Lord's death. What we're doing when we take the Lord's Supper is giving a message. There is a proclamation in the taking of the Lord's Supper, and the testimony we are making when we partake of the Lord's Supper is we are proclaiming our fellowship with Him. Look back at 1 Corinthians 10 and 17. He says, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And so when we break the bread, we testify that all of us are one body in Jesus Christ. We're testifying to our unity in this body of believers here at Green Valley. Do you realize the great thing we have besides our Savior is one another? The unity that we share in this body, the compassion and the love and the ability to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to cheer one another on. Oh, what love should flow in this body of Christ, and how unified we ought to be. Because I'll tell you, there is someone out there who wants to destroy that unity and fellowship, and that's the devil. Oh, how he'd love to come between you and a brother or sister in Christ. How he'd love to tear this church apart and separate us. But when we come together in the breaking of bread, we're to put away petty things. Now, friend, you can look around, and I'm certain, and you can start with me, I'm certain we could find something wrong with every one of us. Amen? Start with me. But those things don't matter. We are one in the bond of love. We are covered in the blood of Christ. We've all been saved at the foot of the cross. We have one Savior, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And so we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace, and we proclaim the fellowship that we have with Him. And let me tell you something about those petty things that people get hung up on. Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves you, warts, skin tags, and all. He loves every part of us. And He sets the members in the body, everyone as He sees fit. And I need you, and you need me. And then when you look around, you need one another. And God brought you here, and God planted you here. And it is the power of God that keeps us here. It is the power of God that keeps us in faith and fellowship. And so what we're saying, what we're proclaiming, is that we believe that He is the Son of God. We're showing forth His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we're all a bunch of fools for being here this morning. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Heaven is awaiting. We're a-going home. Friends, there's two chief feasts in the Bible, and they are the Passover and the Lord's Supper. The Passover looked forward to the, by faith, through the death of Christ on the cross. The Lord's Supper looks backwards by faith to the death and the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And both of them point to the centrality of the cross. And they point to the gospel. We are saved by grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. There isn't a man, woman, or child alive that deserves it. But God gave it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you do anything this morning, you look up to heaven and say, "Thank you, God, that I was a whosoever who got saved." Amen. Verse 26, we are taking this supper until He comes. I'm going to close with this. In an Orthodox Jewish family, when they have the Passover, they always have one empty chair, and that chair is Elijah's chair. And in the Seder, they will take the firstborn son, and they will say to the son, "Son, go look outside the door and see if Elijah has come." And that unexpected guest is supposed to be coming. Well, I want to tell you, we have an empty chair today too. And not because the Savior has not already come. He has come. He is coming again. Amen. And we're looking forward to His coming. And He is coming soon. And so we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So friends, will you begin to examine your heart today? Will you ask yourself, am I redeemed? Am I reconciled? Am I reverent? Am I repentant? Am I ready for the Lord to come? Is there someone I need to go to and get things right? The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We spend just a few moments quietly here in prayer before the invitational. I'm going to ask Sister Tammy if she would come and just play softly for just a moment. Friend, you examine your heart. There may be questions I've asked this morning that you've not yet asked yourself. And there may be other questions you need to ask yourself. Sin needs to be confessed. Hearts need to be made right. Attitudes need to be repented of. Words of disunity that have been spoken need to be condemned. The love of Christ needs to flow. And I hope and I pray that you could say with me, let me not be the one that would stop the flow of His amazing grace by my walk, my attitude, my actions.